Well, let's open our Bibles to Romans chapter 15, Romans 15, and we're going to talk a little bit about this chapter as we've been studying through the book of Romans. It's been a while since we studied the book of Romans. Last time I was looking at my notes, and the last time I think was in April or May or somewhere there, so there's been a lot of other things happening between then and now, and so I thought we would just go ahead and get back to the book a little bit. Remember the great theme of the book of Romans, Romans chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. The Apostle Paul says, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is a power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein the righteousness of God is revealed from faith unto faith, even as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith." So the righteousness of God is revealed in the message of the gospel. And Romans 15 is about promoting the message of the gospel. Promoting the gospel, or promoting the righteousness of God, you could say. And how do we do that? And so we're going to look at this chapter and think about ways that we can promote the gospel. So let's read together Romans chapter 15. It's kind of a longer chapter, 32 verses, and then we'll come back and we'll discuss it. "We then who are strong ought to bear with the scruples of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, leading to edification. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. Now may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded toward one another according to Christ Jesus, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, receive one another, just as Christ also received us to the glory of God. Now I say that Jesus Christ has become a servant to the circumcision for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made to the fathers, and that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written, 'For this reason, I will confess you among the Gentiles and sing to your name.' And again he says, 'Rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people.' And again, 'Praise the Lord, all you Gentiles. Laud him, all you peoples.' And again, Isaiah says, 'There shall be a root of Jesse, and he who shall rise to reign over the Gentiles, in him the Gentiles shall hope.' Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now I myself am confident concerning you, my brethren, that you also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another. Nevertheless, brethren, I have written more boldly to you on some points, as reminding you, because of the grace given to me by God, that I might be a minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering of the Gentiles might be acceptable, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. Therefore, I have reason to glory in Christ Jesus in the things which pertain to God. For I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ has not accomplished through me, in word and deed, to make the Gentiles obedient. In mighty signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about to Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. And so I have made it my aim to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build on another man's foundation, but as it is written, 'To whom he was not announced, they shall see, and those who have not heard shall understand.' For this reason, I also have been much hindered from coming to you, but now no longer having a place in these parts, and having a great desire these many years to come to you, whenever I journey to Spain, I shall come to you. For I hope to see you on my journey and to be helped on my way there by you, if first I might enjoy your company for a while. But now I am going to Jerusalem to minister to the saints. For it pleased those from Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor among the saints who are in Jerusalem. It pleased them indeed, and they are their debtors. For if the Gentiles have been partakers of their spiritual things, their duty is also to minister to them in material things. Therefore, when I have performed this and I have sealed to them this fruit, I shall go by way of you to Spain. But I know that when I come to you, I shall come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. Now I beg you, brethren, through the Lord Jesus Christ and through the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in prayers to God for me, that I may be delivered from those in Judea who do not believe, and that my service for Jerusalem may be acceptable to the saints, that I may come to you with joy by the will of God and may be refreshed together with you. Now the God of peace be with you all. Amen. Okay, so that's Romans 15 as we've read through it. And as I'm looking at this chapter, I can see that, first of all, we have an emphasis on preaching the gospel. So if you look in verses 18 through 21 specifically, Paul says there, I will dare not speak of any of those things which Christ has not accomplished through me in word and deed to make the Gentiles obedient. So he uses a double negative there, which is kind of a unusual way of talking about it. But if you take the negatives out, it would read like this. For I will dare to speak of any of those things which Christ has accomplished through me. In other words, what he's saying is I'm going to speak the words of Christ. I'm going to preach the gospel. I'm not going to hold back on those things. And he says, in mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit, so that from Jerusalem round about to Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. He fully preached the gospel. That's what his goal was. That's what his aim was. He was seeking to do that. And so I have made it my aim to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named. So he wanted to preach the gospel in places where the gospel had not yet gone. And that seemed to be what Paul desired to do in, among other things. So promoting the gospel, that's what we have here. Paul is promoting the gospel. And here in chapter 15, we can see four ways in which Paul promotes the gospel. First of all, and that we can promote the gospel also. First of all, we can promote the gospel by respecting one another's scruples. And that's verses 1 through 6. Secondly, by receiving one another in Christ, verses 7 through 13. Third, by rescuing the lost, verses 14 through 21. And finally, by rendering help, verses 22 through 33. So those four ways, respecting one another's scruples, receiving one another in Christ, rescuing the lost, and rendering help to those who need it. So let's talk about that as we go through Romans 15 here for just a moment. So first of all, respecting one another's scruples. You know, if we were not allowed to respect one another's scruples, we would never get along. Think about that for a minute. I like, you know, chicken fried steak and mashed potatoes, and somebody else says, ew, yuck, I don't want to eat that. I want liver and onions. You know, that's my wife. She likes liver and onions. So, and somebody says, ew, liver and onions, I don't want that. I want fried chicken, you know. Well, scruples are our individual personal preferences that each one of us have. And it's okay to have those scruples. And sometimes our scruples, you know, like we hosted a brother from India one time who came over and stayed with us a couple of nights in our home, and he wouldn't eat meat, okay? He just wouldn't eat meat. And so we didn't feed him meat. And he just wanted rice. And so that's all he would eat is rice. And that was fine. You know, he didn't want to eat meat. That was his personal preference because of his conscience. And sometimes our conscience creates personal preferences in our life that we, you know, don't want to participate in something because it will offend our conscience because of the way we've been raised or something we've been taught maybe, or maybe we just think, well, if I do this, it's going to cause a problem with others and I don't want to cause a problem, and that's okay. But then we don't want to be a person who disallows a matter of scruple for someone else, right? We don't want to be in the situation where we're saying, oh, none of you can eat meat, okay? And we wouldn't do that because the Bible teaches that it's okay to eat meat. We see various passages about that. So what Paul is talking about here in chapter 15 and the first few verses actually is a continuation of some thoughts that he has in chapter 14 about having liberty in matters of scruples. And so he says, we then who are strong ought to bear with the scruples of the weak and not to please ourselves. And so for a Christian, he's going to look at something, let's say someone else doesn't want to do, and he's going to respect that. And he's going to bear with that, and he's not going to try to force his opinion on them. And so this comes out of an appreciation and love for other people and an effort to try to serve others. And so verse 2, let each of us please his neighbor for his good, leading to edification. That's what we want. We want everyone to be edified, and we want them to grow in the gospel. Now, if we didn't have toleration for people's scruples, then we'd be hopelessly divided. We wouldn't even have a congregation because we wouldn't be able to get along because everybody has different scruples. And he says, in regard to pleasing his neighbor, in regard to scruples, okay, he says, for even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. Now, Christ sought to bear the reproaches, okay, and he didn't retaliate in that regard. And so that's what Paul is using him as an example for. If Christ could do that, then we can certainly tolerate someone who likes pistachio ice cream or something like that, right? And we don't have to make that an issue or any other matter of scruples an issue. And he says in verse 4, for whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through the patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. Now may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded toward one another, according to Christ Jesus, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So in essence, what he's saying here is that the scriptures were given to us so that we could be patient and we could have comfort with one another. And if we didn't tolerate one another's scruples, that wouldn't be very patient and it wouldn't be very comforting. And so since we see what the purpose of the scriptures were, that is to that through patience of the comfort of scriptures, we might have hope. Let's allow the scriptures to give us patience and comfort. And so the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded toward one another. And this brings us unity in these areas, okay? I had a question earlier about, well, how can we have unity in matters of opinion? And the answer to that question is that we can all be united in the idea that it is a matter of opinion, okay? And that we don't have to share. We can be united in the idea that every person has his own scruples and we don't necessarily have to conform to one another in regard to scruples. And that's fine. And we can be united in that way. And that will actually build unity and bring unity to the body of Christ. Now, in matters of doctrine, in matters of teaching, we need to teach what the Bible teaches. We cannot afford to be disunited in those matters because those are things that God has spoken on. But in matters of scruples, we have liberty, and we should be united in the teaching that in matters of scruples, we have liberty. I hope everybody can see that point. So to promote the gospel, first of all, we need to respect one another's scruples, because if we don't, we're not going to be able to promote the gospel. Secondly, we need to receive one another in Christ. Look at verses 7 through 13. Therefore, receive one another just as Christ also received us to the glory of God. So we are to receive one another as Christ received us. And you know how Christ received us. He received us even though we were lost, even though we had committed sin, even though we had rebelled against God, Christ still received us. And we know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, he received us as we heard his word and believed it, repented of our sins, confessed him as Lord, and were baptized for the forgiveness of our sins. Yes, he received us, and then he forgave us of our sins. And so, as Christians, then, we need to practice the same attitude toward one another that Christ practiced toward us. And that if there is a problem, then we need to talk about it, and we need to forgive one another, and we need to ask for forgiveness sometimes. And so there's a practice that God wants us to engage in that is an imitation of Christ, to receive one another just as Christ received us. Now I say that Jesus Christ has become a servant to the circumcision for the truth of God to confirm the promises made to the Father, and that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written, "For this reason I will confess to you among the Gentiles and sing your name." And so Paul is going to go through a series of scriptures from the Old Testament in which he's going to point out that it was ultimately God's plan for the Gentiles to be received in the church by the Jews, and that they were to be united together. And of course, the entire book of Romans is about how the gospel is for both Jews and Gentiles, right? So the practical application of that, as Paul is addressing Jews in this particular section, is you Jews need to receive the Gentiles into the body of Christ, just as Christ received you into the body of Christ. And that there's not to be any division between Jews and Gentiles. And that brings us to a point that we ought to consider in that regard that the Apostle Paul makes in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 27 and 28, and where he says that as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. And because we put on Christ, there's no longer any male or female, Jew or Greek, bond or free, but we're all one in Christ Jesus. And because of that, we are not going to create division for along those lines. We're going to accept one another, to receive one another. I think it's important that we understand we're talking about salvation here. We're talking about salvation. And anyone who has obeyed the gospel is saved, and we will receive them. And that is what is being discussed here in this passage also. And what does that mean? It means we don't discriminate based on race, or we don't discriminate based upon someone's background. We don't if they've obeyed the gospel, we're going to receive them into our fellowship. And so we don't discriminate based on nationality or anything like that. We receive as Christ has received. And that's what Paul is talking about here. And if we will have that attitude, we will be able to promote the gospel. And this is with the attitude of a servant, as Paul writes. Jesus Christ was a servant, and so we need to be servants. And it is with joy and peace of believing. Look at verse 13. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. So the aim or the goal is to have this joy and peace that's in Christ. And if we will receive one another as Christ has received us, then we can have this joy and peace in Christ. And so another way to promote the gospel is by receiving one another in Christ. Philippians chapter 2 is a great passage to think about in this regard in verses 1 through 4 of that chapter, where the Apostle Paul talks about, you know, not pursuing our own personal preferences, but rather thinking about one another and humbling ourselves before one another and not being lifted up with pride. He says, therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, and any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. And so we're supposed to be looking out for one another, not just our own interests. So we need to receive one another in Christ as Christ has received us, and that means being servants of one another. And then in verses 14 through 21 of Romans 15, we see that rescuing the lost is a way to promote the gospel. So we're promoting the gospel by respecting one another's scruples, by receiving one another in Christ, and by rescuing the lost. And Paul talks about rescuing the lost and the work that he has done in rescuing the lost in verses 14 through 21. And he says, now I myself am confident concerning you, my brethren, that you also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another. And that's our first point here, is that we are able to admonish one another. And what that means is that, you know, sometimes we might do things that we shouldn't do. And it takes one of us, some of us, to go and talk to others so that we can bring them back. It reminds me of Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1. You who are spiritual among them, you know, in regard to those who have strayed away, who are spiritual among them, restore them. And that's the idea that Paul is talking about here, that we are to admonish one another, help one another, encourage one another to be faithful and to do what God wants us to do so that we don't go astray. We also need to be involved in ministering the gospel. Look at verse 15 and 16. Nevertheless, brethren, I have written more boldly to you on some points as reminding you because of the grace given to me by God, that I might be a minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering of the Gentiles might be acceptable, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. So we minister the gospel. What does that mean? It means we serve it. We put it out there so that people can hear it and that they can then act on it as they apply it to their lives. Ministering the gospel. And we need to be involved in ministering the gospel, both in our words and in our actions. And so we rescue the lost by ministering the gospel. And we rescue the lost by preaching the gospel. Specifically, Paul talked about preaching the gospel where it had never been, verses 17 through 21. He says, therefore, I have reason to glory in Christ Jesus in the things which pertain to God. For I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ has not accomplished through me in word and deed to make the Gentiles obedient. And then he says down here that from Jerusalem to Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ, have made it my aim to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build on another man's foundation. So, in other words, he was going into new places that had never heard the gospel, and he was reaching to those so that they could hear the gospel. Now, today in our world, the gospel has gone to very many places, tremendous places, and there's Bibles that have been translated into, I think, 90% of the languages in the world. And so the gospel has gone throughout the world, and it's not far from anyone who would want to hear it and to believe it and to obey it today. And so, but there are still some places that we might be able to go where the gospel has not gone and preach the gospel there. And some of those places are very dangerous places to go. But we can go there by various means. One way we can go to some of those places is through the internet. And people in countries where they do not allow the public preaching of the gospel can get online and can search the internet and can find the gospel that way. And so we have an internet ministry, and I think I can speak confidently in saying that that ministry has gone some places where the gospel has not been preached. And so in that way, even though we haven't gone personally, we have made the gospel available to those who have never heard it before. Jesus said in Luke chapter 19 and verse 10 that the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. And that's what we need to be about the business of doing, rescuing the lost. And Paul was about that business, and we need to do it also. And so we promote the gospel by rescuing the lost. And then finally here in Romans 15, we promote the gospel by rendering help to those who need it. And this is verses 22 through 33. He says, "For this reason I also have been much hindered from coming to you, but now no longer having a place in these parts and having a great desire these many years to come to you, whenever I journey to Spain, I shall come to you." For I, well, let's stop right there. So Paul had been hindered, but nevertheless, he now had an opportunity. And so he needed some help in evangelism. He was hindered, and now he was no longer having a place in these parts where he was at. And he had a great desire to come to see them. And so when he said, "When I journey to Spain, I shall come to you." You know, sometimes we help in evangelism by supporting those who are out doing the evangelism, right? And that's what Paul had. He had support of others to get out and to evangelize. One brother one time said that if you're not going, that is, into the world to evangelize, then you need to be giving so that somebody can go into the world and evangelize. And by giving, we also have a part in doing that evangelism. It becomes not only the person's work who is doing the evangelism, but the work of those who are supporting him as well. And in that way, we can participate in evangelistic efforts. We also see here that there is need to help the poor, verses 25 through 29. He says, "But now I am going to Jerusalem to minister to the saints. For it pleased those from Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor among the saints who are in Jerusalem. It pleased them indeed, and they are their debtors. For if the Gentiles have been partakers of their spiritual things, their duty is also to minister to them in material things. Therefore, when I have performed this and have sealed to them this fruit, I shall go by way of you to Spain, but I know that when I come to you, I shall come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ." So Paul talking there about the contribution that had been taken up that he was carrying to the poor among the saints in Jerusalem. The book of Acts discusses this as Paul makes his way through Achaia and Macedonia, and then comes back through, and he stops, you know, to visit with the elders of Ephesus there in Miletus, and then he's coming down, and he's going to Jerusalem, and he has this money with him. And we know he has this money with him because 1 Corinthians chapter 15 talks about it, 2 Corinthians chapters 8 and 9 talk about this contribution that was being made for the poor among the saints, and he's talking about it right here, that he has this money with him as he's journeying, and that he's going to bring it to the poor among the saints in Jerusalem. And in that regard, then, help for the poor is a way to promote the gospel. And then there is help in prayer. Look at verses 30 through 33. Now I beg you, brethren, through the Lord Jesus Christ and through the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in prayers to God for me, that I may be delivered from those in Judea who do not believe, and that my service for Jerusalem may be acceptable to the saints, that I may come to you with joy by the will of God and may be refreshed together with you. Now the God of peace be with you all. Amen. And so he's asking for their prayers. Specifically, he's asking for prayer in regard to the effort that he's making to deliver that money to Judea. He doesn't want there to be any problems among the Jews down there. Now, of course, we know from the book of Acts that when he gets to Jerusalem, there are problems. And he gets arrested. And then he goes to prison. And then he stays in prison for about 3 years. And as a result of being in prison, he is able then to make that journey to Rome that he's talking about making right here. Who would have known that that's how he would get there? But that's exactly how God got him there. And so he was finally able to get to Rome. And in Rome, he then was able to meet the brethren and to fulfill the things that he said he wanted to accomplish here in the book of Romans before he even arrived there. And so the prayers of the saints help us to promote the gospel. And that's what we want to do. Pray that we can promote the gospel. Now think about this chapter and think about promoting the gospel. How do we do it? Number one, by respecting one another's scruples. Number two, by receiving one another in Christ. Number three, by rescuing the lost. Number four, by rendering help to those who need it, whether it's through prayer or through evangelism or through helping the poor. We can promote the gospel in all of these ways. Now, this is a great example to us who have next week a gospel meeting that we are going to be participating in. And each one of us then needs to take these principles and apply them to our lives. How can we promote the gospel this week? Let's take a flyer and give it to someone. Let's go out and talk about our gospel meeting and invite people to come in. Let's be a good contributor to the work that we have going on here so that we can support efforts like this, where we can have guest speakers come in and preach the gospel. Not every congregation can do that, but we are blessed to be able to do that because we have good givers here. Let's do what we can to pray for this gospel meeting, that it would be successful. Let's get out there and promote the gospel in all of these ways. And if we will do that, then as God bless the Apostle Paul and his work, and he will bless our work as well. Well, maybe this evening someone here needs to obey the gospel through hearing the word of God and believing it, repenting of sins, confessing Jesus as Christ, and being baptized. You can be forgiven of sins and become a Christian. Or maybe you would like the prayers of the church this evening to help you to be faithful to the Lord and to be more involved in evangelistic efforts as the Apostle Paul was. If that's the case, we'd love to pray with you and for you. If you have a need, you can come make it known right now while we sing this song of invitation. Please stand.